just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here in Money, Riches, and Wealth. And no co-host here tonight, but I do have a guest, and it's a guest that I've been looking forward to talking with. His name is Chris Kastendyk of Kastendyk Insurance, and Chris actually handles all the consulates, the financial consulates, property casualty insurance. And the reason I wanted to talk to Chris is because I think that there, well, first off, I know for a fact that there are a lot of small business owners that are listeners to our radio show, and I'm concerned that a lot of small business owners have no clue as to the complexity and the cost of property casualty insurance, and how you can help to save costs and save money in property casualty insurance. And Chris has been very helpful to us, and he's always been straightforward. So I'm looking forward to the conversation tonight, and I just want to welcome Chris Kastendyk tonight. Chris, how are you doing?
Doing great, Drew. Thanks for having me.
And saying you don't need no diamond rings. Anyway, Chris, as I just said a second ago, property casualty insurance for commercial insurance is very different than personal insurance.
Yeah, absolutely. It's much more complex.
So with personal insurance, I can't come to you and say, hey, Chris, I don't like that premium that you're quoting me. I think you ought to give me a 10 or 20. There's no room for anything. It's, you tell them who you are, where you live, what your risk profile is, and that's it. The insurance commissioner has everything else.
Yep.
It's straightforward.
Yeah, the commercial piece is a lot different with multiple carriers coming in, and all of them have different filed rates and ways they go about their own rating system. So, yeah, very different from the personal side.
And there's a lot of flexibility in that.
Absolutely.
And flexibility is a good thing for the business owner. So how many companies do you personally, you and your company, quote?
Yeah, so my firm, the Kastendyk Insurance Group, is a partner with Maury Donnelly & Parr, who's our kind of headquarter company. We have about 75 direct carrier contracts. So if you would think of your main carriers, the Hartfords, the Travelers, the Chubbs, we also represent a lot of the smaller mutual companies or regional companies like a Hartford Mutual or a Westminster American. So it really kind of runs the gamut.
So, but there are lots of other companies out there, too.
Hundreds
of other companies.
Yeah.
So, you can possibly get to those, but the ones you carry, are the direct is 75 or so.
Yeah, and then via wholesale partnerships and ancillary programs, there's probably another 150 to 200. I mean, there's markets all over the place, both local and domestic and foreign.
And so when somebody comes, like the consulate, comes to you and say, I want to get property casualty insurance for my business, it's not just a simple thing of auto insurance, home insurance, or possibly umbrella. It's far more complicated.
Yeah, we have to take a full in-depth look of the entire company. I mean, we got to know everything about it, from revenues and financials to what the daily operations look like.
So I come to you and I say, Chris, I want to insure my company. And you say, okay, Drew, here's a business owner's policy that insures your company. But, that business owner's policy, if I come to you a year later and say, hey, I had a claim against me for some kind of, employee issue, there's no assurance that my BOP policy, my business owner's policy, is going to cover me, is it?
That's correct. Yeah. And it's every year, too. You have to look at each client and kind of get a risk profile. Have things changed? Are their operations changed? Have they hired anybody new? What's going on within the organization? So, yeah, it can be very complex.
And so if I come to you also and I say, hey, Chris, we just, like Baltimore City, just got attacked by a hacker and it's going to cost us $500,000 or whatever. Who knows? No assurance. I'm covered.
No, absolutely not.
And so it's property casualty insurance for the commercial industry is extremely complex, and it really requires somebody who thinks deeply about this.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we've got a staff dedicated to kind of each client. They get their own producer, they get their own account executive, and they have their own team that works with them throughout the year. It's not just a once a year talk. It should be a lot more often than that.
And so, I get a lot of clients. As a matter of fact, I have one that I'm going to be meeting with next Monday night. And, they're doing all their insurances through Erie, who I strongly recommend for personal insurance. But there's, the Erie agent is a personal insurance agent. He's not an expert in commercial insurance. I'm sure they're missing all kinds of things.
Yeah, I mean, there's also Erie commercial divisions. So we don't represent Erie. Erie's the State Farm's, the captive agencies, as we call them, aren't firms that we work with directly. But yeah, there's a big difference between a personal lines firm and a commercial lines firm.
And so when you're dealing with an insurance agent that's predominantly a personal and thinking they've got your commercial back covered, I don't necessarily. I'm very uncomfortable when a client comes in and they're doing commercial insurance with a personal lines carrier. I mean, an agent who you can tell does not understand the commercial lines. It's dangerous.
Yeah, a lot of times they think that one policy fits all, and they try to put that square peg in the round hole mentality, and it just doesn't work that way. I mean, even within our firm, our personal lines division is separate from our commercial lines division, and in our personal lines team, they're experts in personal lines, and our commercial lines team is different.
Yeah, and so it really requires somebody who can come in, and when we're going to take a pause in about 30 seconds, but when we come back, what we want to talk about is all of those complexities that goes into a business that maybe an agent is not thinking about, who's not expert in the area of commercial insurance.
Let's dive into it.
Yeah, we're going to have to go into that and talk about all the things you got, non-owned auto and the cybersecurity and the employee liability.
Employment practices, yeah.
And sexual harassment is a big issue now, and that's not covered under most commercial insurance policies and so forth. So we're going to talk about a lot of those and why our small business owners should be concerned about commercial insurance and how to deal with it. Right now, we're going to have to take a pause with traffic. We're going to be right back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Are you looking for a professional financial advisor that you can trust and help you through all stages of life? Having a team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs gives us the ability to help you prepare your tax return, strategize to help you minimize tax liability, help you visualize and reach your retirement goals, and help guide you in every other facet of personal financial planning. We demonstrate these abilities every Wednesday night on our radio show, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Have you been wanting a second opinion? Then consider our trademark service, the Financial Physical. We guarantee if you don't come away from your financial physical with a sense of immense value, then there will be absolutely no charge. Call 410-823-7283 to speak with me and the team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs. That is 410-823-SAVE, or go online to financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. I'm here with Chris Kassendyke at Kassendyke Insurance, and we're talking about commercial property and casualty insurance, or just all kinds of property casualty insurance. But one of the things we were talking about at the break there, Chris, is that, property casualty insurance for commercial businesses is very complex, and you really need to know the niches of each and every company. And it really requires somebody who's expert and specializes with a financial advisory business or a manufacturing business or a real estate investment business. And so your firm has numerous niche expertises.
Yeah, Kassendyke Insurance Group is just one division of Maury Donnelly and Parr. So within our firm, we really rely on the experts within the organization of 100-plus employees to go after the right type of account. And all of our brokers and producers are incented to work together rather than compete with each other. So it's not uncommon for me to come across a class of business where I'm not comfortable and I bring somebody else in from the office.
Yeah, no, your personal is real estate investors.
Absolutely.
Because you come from a family of real estate investors.
Some, yeah.
The point is that real estate investing, you made a good point here, is that, you meet somebody with a $30, $40, $50 million business and they've got a $1 million or $2 million umbrella liability policy. That's a big mistake.
It happens all the time.
So go ahead, tell everyone what's the problem with that.
Yeah, no. So, a lot of organizations think, well, I'm protected by my LLC, I'm protected by my shell company, whatever it may be. Or it's that fine balance of not going, quote unquote, insurance poor, right? Everyone says, well, how much insurance do I need? And the question is, how much are you willing to absorb versus how much do you want to transfer away via an insurance policy? So a lot of times what we talk about is, in the event of an injury or a claim against yourself or your organization, where are you comfortable with those limits? And a lot of times, you know, we see real estate investors, and that's the biggest one, where they've got a $50 million building, you know, $1 million liability policy, maybe $5 million of umbrella, and they think, well, I've got $6 million of coverage, I'm good. What they don't think about is that massive loss of life claim if the building were to catch on fire and maybe people are trapped up top. So what happens there once that $6 million is exhausted? And that's typically when they come at the assets of the LLC.
Yeah, and you know, you'd be surprised that when somebody is hurt and hurt bad, you know, you'd be surprised what a jury will award if there's a big deep pocket on the other side.
Yeah, it's amazing, especially if it's a child. I mean, there's no life to a pupil, and I think that's kind of the hard number to guess is, you know, in the event of a lifetime of injury, a paraplegic, you know, whatever it may be, there the claims can get very large very quickly.
Yeah. You know, so just a simple thing, you know, for some of our listeners who may not be commercial people, I have quite a few people that come to meet with me for the first time. We do what we call our financial physical, and we're going through everything. We want to know who are you? What do you have? What are you doing? What are your insurances and so forth? And I find out that they're worth $2, $3, $4, $5 million, and all they have is an auto policy and a home policy with $100,000, $300,000 on their auto policy and $100,000 or $300,000 of liability on their home policy. And I'm thinking, what agent is doing this to these people?
Yeah.
And you know, there's no liability on a personal insurance agent for doing that to somebody who's worth that kind of money.
Yeah, I do think it does go a little twofold as well. A lot of times insurance agents will recommend higher limits and the buyer doesn't want to purchase them. So it is both ways. But yeah, I agree. I think their big part is delving into it and for the insurance agent or broker to point out recommendations and things they should look to increase. You know, you made the comment on the last podcast about personal lines. The cost of a shock trauma flight alone can kill your entire limit.
Yeah.
So, you know, on the commercial side, it's no different. I mean, if you're driving a Mack truck, if you're driving a school bus with 44 children on it, and you're carrying $2 million of liability, it's not going to go very far in the event of that accident.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So anyway, our personal, you know, people who don't own a business and they have a reasonable net worth of a couple million dollars, they should have an umbrella liability policy of at least $2 to $5 million, depending on what their net worth is.
Yeah.
And it's not expensive.
No, on the commercial side, it's the same sort of idea, right? The primary policy, the primary $1 million of liability is going to be the most expensive. And as you buy up in an umbrella or excess layer, it gets cheaper the higher you buy because it's got a glorified deductible built into the plan.
Yeah, because most claims are in the, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50,000. That's where the majority of the money goes at.
Absolutely.
Those big, big claims don't come in very often. That's why the insurance isn't that expensive when you get up over there. But people are nickel and diming themselves, or their agent isn't advising them properly. One of the two.
Yeah, the larger claims come in more often than you would think, but it's usually on the liability side. I mean, on the property side, unless it's a mega fire or, you know, a big flood or something like that, the property side's pretty straightforward. Those $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 water damage, leaks, things like that, roof leaks, electric shock. But on the liability side, the third-party injury, those claims can get pretty big pretty quickly.
So right there, you're talking about big real estate claims. You got a big building that's worth, you know, $25 million.
Mm-hmm.
Most of those owners of those commercial property may be missing all the different risks that may not be properly insured, and they don't even know it. I'm just talking about the property damage. I'm not even talking liability now. Tell us some of the things that typically are overlooked.
On the property side, there's a lot. I mean, a lot of people think, oh, well, I bought the building for $1 million. I'm going to insure it for $1 million. Well, that's not necessarily how it works anymore, right? Right now, we look at, on the commercial side, we look at replacement costs. So just because—
And all the code changes.
Oh, yeah. So that's the ordinance or law side. But the replacement cost is big. So we typically recommend that somebody gets with a contractor to say, hey, get a recommended price per square foot for replacement cost and go off of that for your building limit, you know, working with your attorney hand in hand. The second piece too is that is exactly what you said, a coverage called ordinance or law coverage.
Yeah.
Ordinance or law is going to be that increased cost of construction. If your building wasn't sprinklered before and now it needs to be sprinklered, there's an increased cost there.
Oh, I mean, it's just immense that could be a cost differential if your building was built 30 or 40 years ago and now all of a sudden you have to replace the whole thing.
Yep.
It's just an amazing amount of money. And then you got things like, sewage backup and so forth. And you don't realize that you're limited as to how much coverage they're going to actually give you for that. And all those little things that go on in there. And, you know, do you have an agent that specializes and understands this stuff? That is so important in this industry.
Yeah, I think it's more about the advice. I mean, you as the owner do have the choice as to what you buy and what you want to transfer away. But it's about having the conversation of where are you comfortable.
Most owners don't understand this stuff, Chris.
Yep.
I mean, I'm pretty good with it. But when I sit down with a guy like you and you start explaining this and that, as good as I am, there's a lot of things. I can't be a specialist in everything. I need that advice from somebody who understands.
Yeah, and it's the fine balance, Drew, of having the conversation and not treating it as a scare tactic. And I think that's the way that our team and the Mari Donnelly and Parr team approaches things is we don't tell you enough stories to scare you so that you're going to buy all these crazy high limits. That's not the goal. The goal is to offer that advice so that you as a business owner can take some of that advice and choose which way you want to go with that, from a cost to dollar allocation to what you want to self-absorb.
Yeah. So, I mean, but there are lots of risks that are coming in now, and that most people don't even know that they're not even insured for.
Yeah. I mean, the cyber liability policy that you just alluded to earlier in the show is one of the biggest pieces out there right now that people think, oh, if I get hacked, it's covered under my business owner's policy. Well, there might be a small little limit in there of maybe $5,000 or $10,000 where you see a data breach, but that's not going to be enough money in the event of a real claim.
Yeah, and that's just one of the many. And, you know, you have an employee who brings an action against you, may not have any coverage for that.
Yeah, employment practices liability is the fastest growing claim out there right now. So.
And it's an easy enough area with all the new laws and regulations. President Obama put in new rules around what you have to pay in hourly fees and so forth. And there's all kinds of regulation for disability, and there's all kinds of regulations for discrimination. And you might not even think that you're doing any of those things. Next thing you know, some lawyer's knocking on your door saying you are. And, you know, you're surprised.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you realize you don't have any coverage.
And I would tell you the big piece there is whether it's true or not, your cost starts at $1 when you have to start defending yourself with your own attorney. And that's where the big piece comes in is you always heard that joke, sue to settle, right? Somebody's just looking for a quick payout. Your defense costs add up very quickly. And a lot of times in employment practices claims, it is more about the defense cost and not just admitting guilt, because nobody wants the reputation of admitting guilt on something they didn't do, especially if it involves something like sexual harassment or, you know, any sort of abuse or molestation, anything that kind of kicks into those policies. You don't want to admit any guilt there and settle out if you didn't do it, because it's got a reputational damage issue.
Yeah, and you make a great point. I remember a workers' comp judge, a friend of mine, once said to me, Drew, you may be absolutely right. There's no workers' comp claim here, but you will lose the war, you know, when you try to defend that situation to prove that you're innocent. And if I had no coverage for that and I tried to do it personally, that will, I mean, you know, you're talking thousands and thousands of dollars. And, you know, just the protection of the defense of the lawyers is the reason that you want to have this coverage. And most of it isn't ridiculously expensive.
No, absolutely not. Actually, the prices have surprisingly come down a little bit on a lot of lines of business on the commercial side lately. So where people are seeing their regular increases on the personal side of things, where auto insurance rates might be going up or the homeowners rates are going up, on the commercial, a number of lines are actually still going down into what we call a soft market.
You got to hold on with me, Chris. We'll be right back with the second part of Money, Riches, and Worth. We're talking about commercial property casualty and how to make sure that you're covered right, and also make sure you do it at the most cost-effective rate with Chris Cassendike. Right now, we got to take a pause with traffic. Take it away, traffic. This is Drew Tignanelli, president of the Financial Consulate and host of Money, Riches, and Wealth. So often a radio listener calls me saying, I've been listening to you for years and have been meaning to call. When they come in for their comprehensive financial physical, they say, I wish I had done this years ago. If you've been meaning to call and meet with us, then do not wait. Call now to learn more about our trademark financial physical. The financial physical is designed to be a comprehensive second opinion analyzing all your goals and objectives. Are you maximizing tax efficiencies? Will you be able to maintain your lifestyle in retirement? Is your portfolio properly allocated? Are just a few of the many parts of the physical. The best part of our service is you get to see the final product before you decide if you want to pay for it. We do this to assure you we are not selling product
and we guarantee the physical to be truly beneficial. Do not wait any longer. Call 410-823-7283. That's 410-823-SAFE, or visit us online at financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Bachman Turner Overdrive. Told you. It's amazing. Whatchamacallit, Mick Jagger and the Grateful Dead. There you go. Two times in one song. Anyway, go ahead, Chris. You go ahead and try to act like you know what it is.
It's the Who, and
I heard that old. I heard that old guy on the Super Bowl a few years ago, and he doesn't sing as like he used to.
No.
But anyway, we're moving on, Chris. I'm going back to Chris Gassendyke. We're talking about commercial property casualty insurance. And, Chris, you know, there's plenty of coverages that people miss in property casualty insurance, and especially if it's a real small business. You know, let's say it's a little million-dollar business, and, you know, it's just an owner and three or four employees, and, you know, they've got some personal line insurance agent that's doing his commercial insurance, and, you know, he's got a Bob policy on him and so forth. But, you know, one of the things I look for, and I find in a small business like that that's so often missing, is non-owned auto insurance. Talk about it.
Yeah, so hired and non-owned auto is the commercial side of personal insurance, right? So it's the piece where it's not the commercial auto policy itself. It's actually usually an enhancement to a general liability policy. And that's covering employees that are using personal vehicles for work operations. So their primary insurance, their personal insurance is primary, but in the event of an accident, if they're brought into a suit, meaning the company is brought into a suit, it's there to defend the company.
So, you know, I've got my company, and, you know, one of the things that my employees do is we have an in-service lunch on Wednesdays, and then they like to go to different places. And so let's say they're going to go to, you know, sushi place, and they're going to pick up sushi. And so two of the employees jump in one of their cars, and off they go, and they're driving to get sushi, and they have an accident. And what's going to happen is the police report or the person, somehow or another, they're going to find out, well, where were you going? What were you doing? They're going to say, we were going to pick up sushi for the financial consulate because it's in-service lunch day. And, you know, and next thing you know, they're going to sue the person that was driving their personal car, but they're going to absolutely bring the financial consulate into that case.
Absolutely, they can, and as long as it goes above and beyond that individual driver's insurance, but yes.
But, you know, if a lawyer sitting there thinking, you know, hey, I've got a chance to get above their insurance and off to the financial consulate, they're coming after him. Like you say, I still have to defend myself.
Yep, absolutely.
And their insurance, you know, they're going to still bring me in the case. I still have to defend myself. If I do not have non-owned auto insurance, I'm totally uninsured as an employer.
Yeah, and the scary piece there, and the one thing that we have to remember is this does not count the commute to and from work. Going to work or driving home is not part of an operation of the work. But yes, going out at your boss's discretion or running to the bank for work or any of those errands, absolutely, that lawsuit can get brought only to the individual, but also to the business itself.
Yeah, that's a great point. So if I'm just driving to work and driving home from work, that's not the employer's not responsible for that. But, you know, you do it too often. It's too simple to say, take this down to the bank and deposit it for us or whatever. Go out and get us in-service lunch or whatever the case may be. Or, you know, very typical, you'll say to an employee, hey, on your way home from work, stop this off at John's house.
Yeah.
Now you're working for the employer.
It gets even trickier, Drew, as you get into things like renting vehicles if you're away on a work trip and using a vehicle that you've rented now. You can also look at these new pieces that are coming into play with lawsuits where the rental companies that you rented it from and got into an accident, now they're also saying, well, we're going to tack onto the claim the fact that we can't rent that vehicle out every day. And typically, that is not a covered peril. So you got to look at all those pieces, not only the liability, but the physical damage side of things, the loss of use side of things, that all come into play on a hired and non-owned policy or a separate policy.
So, you know, now let's get to the solution. My opinion, and I do this with all of our clients, I do it with you, and you don't mind, you know, and that is, as I say to all my clients, you always, every 2 or 3 years, you need to bring another agent in to look at your policies and quote them so that, A, it forces you to make sure that you're looking at my policies and making sure that you're thinking out everything that could possibly that I would need. And number two, it brings another agent in with another quote from whatever companies they represent that you might not represent to say, these are the prices, and now it puts the onus on you to say, I got to make sure I'm bringing him in the best policy possible.
Yeah, and there's two ways to go about that marketing process, and everyone kind of has a different belief, whether you do it via multiple brokers, whether you have the broker that you have go out and show the results of all of the carriers and not just the one. Some companies don't like to have their account marketed by multiple brokers because they don't want to give all their information. Maybe they have a patented product. Maybe they have money that they don't want people to know about. A lot of those clients, especially as you get larger, it's more rare for them to engage multiple brokers every year.
You better make sure you have an agent that really knows their stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, but when I see those agents out there that are either a personal line guy doing commercial insurance, I want to make sure somebody's coming in and looking at it. I want to make sure that there's competition coming in. I've seen too many times where somebody's just going with one agent and they're paying $8,000 or $9,000. I'm just using a number, $8,000 or $9,000 a year. I bring another agent in to quote it, and all of a sudden everybody's down in the $5,500 range. That does happen, too.
It does happen. And as new markets come into play, of course, they can drive price down. On the flip side, you would look at different lines of business like auto that's typically going up just because the cost of vehicles, the number of accidents. But, yeah, there's a lot of strategies there. The one piece I would caution people on is taking their account to market too many times.
No, you
whether
don't.
It's with their broker or another broker. If underwriters see the same submission over and over again, they're less inclined to go after it because they don't think they have a chance.
That's why I say it's like every 3 years or something of that sort that you want to do this. You want to make sure that everybody's thinking about what's the best for you and that they're really skilled at what they're doing. And that's what's really important. Is the person skilled at what you're doing in your business?
Yeah, and there's a broken piece to the property and casualty system that I think exists, and that is the what we call blocking of markets. And what a lot of people don't realize is if they go to a broker like myself and say, hey, I want to get the best quote available, and we go out to 5, 10, 15 markets, whatever it may be, no other broker, you know, of any size, whoever it is, if they put a submission into the same company after we've already submitted it, they're blocked. So it's important for business owners to also understand that they should pick and choose the brokers they're working with and assign the appropriate markets. You know, the insured ultimately has the ability to say, hey, Chris, I want you to work with Travelers, Hartford, and Chubb, whoever the three carriers may be, and I'm going to go to an Erie broker and have him quote Erie. There's no problem there, but if they go to another broker and say, hey, also quote Travelers, Hartford, and Chubb, you can't do that. So it's a little different than the health insurance world where they'll quote the same for multiple brokers and you pick your broker. In our industry, you pick the markets and assign them to a broker.
But one of the cool things that, well, I'm going to have to, I got to tell you, it's 6:44. I'm going to have to take one of my last traffic pauses, and then I'm going to come back and tell you what I was going to say there. So you're going to have to hold on, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Right now, we're going to go to traffic. We'll be right back.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here with Chris Kastendyke, and we're talking about commercial property casualty insurance and trying to decipher what small business owners ought to be thinking about with commercial property casualty insurance. And the one thing I wanted to ask you just before we were ready to go on break, and I was ready to ask it, and then I paused, was one of the things I like about you is that I know that you and your team know what you're doing. I know that you analyze the risk in detail. I know you have 70-some carriers you can go to and analyze and so forth. And, you know, what drives me crazy, Chris, is how many small business owners are looking to the commercial side of Erie or State Farm or Allstate or whatever, and they have a personal line insurance agent that you know doesn't understand the risk of a commercial insured. It just drives me crazy.
It happens all the time. Yeah.
But you really need those risks analyzed properly because, you know, like you just said, like we've been just saying, there's so many little things that if you're not thinking that out, you could easily end up in a situation where you have a lawsuit against you, but you have no coverage. And even if you win, you're going to lose when you pay all that defense cost.
Yeah, you know, I think the problem with a lot of the insurance agents or brokers out there is they want to say yes to everything because it brings them more business. But in all honesty, the walkaway power is actually adding more value to a client by saying, listen, this just isn't in my wheelhouse. You kind of can't be that master of all trades there. You got to kind of pick and choose what fits your wheelhouse. What do you understand about the policies? What do you understand about that industry? And that's why I think Mari Donnelly and Parr and our team, the Castanek Insurance Group, has been so successful.
No, I have to admit, I've seen personal lines insurance agents who really specialize also in small contractors. Mm-hmm. You know, they work with a guy that does some home improvements and things. He might have $500,000, $800,000. And they really think about it, and they do a good job at helping those people insure their risk. So I'm all in favor of that kind of thing.
Yep.
Every once in a while. But I still want them to go out and just make sure. Have somebody else just look at it just to be sure you're in the right place that you really need to be.
Yeah, and most brokers out there, you know, ourselves included, we don't charge to give somebody a breakdown or an analysis of their policy. You know, if they came to us and said, here's what we have, are we okay? Well, it's a little more detailed than that. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely worthwhile to get everything checked out.
Yeah, and because you can come in and say, well, here's the things that I think, you know, and you know that you're going to be trying to put your best foot forward, and you're going to say, these are the things that I see, these are things I can be concerned of, this is the price I could bring it in at if I did all that I think ought to be done. And now it's up to the business owner to be able to make an intelligent decision. Do I want to stay with the agent that I'm with and what he's saying and so forth? Do I feel he really knows what these guys have? And, you know, and so forth.
Yeah, and Drew, the other big piece there is to not just look short term. You know, if you've got a company where you're thinking, hey, down the road, 3 years, 5 years, I'm looking to grow, I'm looking to have new additions come on, I'm looking to make these changes, try to think as far forward as you can, because there is some benefit to staying with the same insurance company over the years. There is some same loyalty like you would see on the personal line side of things. So if you know, for example, that you're going to be a $10 million or $20 million organization in 3 to 5 years, think about those companies that still want to write a $10 to $20 million organization so that you're not jumping every single year and changing carriers.
No, nobody should change every single year. They should look at this like every 3 to 5 years they have to do and make sure. Because here's the thing that I have seen is that a person gets to like an agent. And they get, and the agent says, wow, you know, these guys like me. They trust me, you know. And all of a sudden you have creepage. And all of a sudden your premium is a lot higher than it should be if you were quoting that every so many years. That's why you know, you're not going to get away with that with the financial consulate.
No, absolutely not. You guys do a great job at making sure everything's reviewed. I mean, that's why I think our partnership has been strong. And you know, luckily in the past year, we've still been able to deliver a lot of decreases year over year. I've got a bunch of new clients within the last 2 or 3 years, I've said, this is the first time I've ever seen a decrease in my premiums. And, you know, a lot of that's just because the marketplace is always changing. Now, if you've got claims or, you know, new revenues, it's not necessarily going to be a decrease in premiums.
But I have to be honest with you. I look at a lot of commercial insurance policies when we do a financial physical for the first time with our clients and they come in as a business owner. I do not find a lot of agents really thoughtfully looking over that commercial policy and also making sure that that premium is staying in line with what's available in the market, unfortunately.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, every broker does things a little differently, so I don't want to speak to all. But yeah, it does happen. I mean, there are inflation rates. There are a lot of policies that get that standard 3, maybe 5% increase year over year. If you wait 5 years and you do the math, that's a, you know, 15 to 25%, you know, increase in premiums.
There are a lot of coverages we, you know, haven't gotten in, but let me get into one that I'm passionate about for personal lines as well as business lines, and that's uninsured and underinsured motorist coverage. It's probably one of the most inexpensive and most important coverages you could ever have.
I would agree with you, and I think the statistics are ever changing, but I believe the number is 1 in every 12 or 14 Maryland drivers is uninsured or underinsured.
14%, they say, in the state of Maryland.
Yeah.
14%. And, you know, people aren't uninsured because they're dishonest. Many people are uninsured because they just don't realize they're not insured. Mm-hmm. We'll just take that commercial policy owner who doesn't know that he needs non-owner auto insurance, and all of a sudden, you know, you have a claim, and the person that they sent out only has the state minimum of 3060, and, you know, next thing you know, they're coming after you, and it's the business owner who sent that employee out, but you're uninsured.
Yep. It happens all the time. And the underinsured and uninsured motorist cost, you're right, it is an endorsement to a standard auto policy, so it's not a crazy big addition to go from $100,000 to the full $1 million limit. Every carrier does do that a little bit differently in terms of the limits they will offer. But again, going into what your big pitch of umbrellas and making sure umbrellas follow all those forms as well can get you to the full limit.
And so you've got the big coverages the commercial small business owners should be thinking about. You got the business owner's policy.
Yeah, which is your general liability and your property.
Right. And that's just for the beginning, right? Mm-hmm. That's just the initial. Somebody comes into your office, trips and falls on your rug, they're going to be covered under your business owner's policy.
You got it.
That's going to cover a lot of other little things and some general liability issues and so forth. But then if you're worried about employees suing you, that's a totally different policy. Cybersecurity, that's a whole different policy. But then over top of all that, you're going to put on top of what's called a general umbrella policy or a what do they call it?
You're right. A commercial umbrella.
Right. A commercial umbrella. You're going to put that on top, and that's going to go up to another 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 million or even 50 million.
I just placed a $300 million umbrella. So it really can go to any limit. The big piece to watch with umbrellas is they don't go over every single coverage. So cyber liability, for example, typically does not fall within an umbrella. You would buy the amount of millions that you want in cyber standalone, but for general liability and auto, employer's liability, things like that, that would be on the umbrella.
That's an important, let's talk about that, cyber liability. Cyber liability is becoming a big issue, and I'll bet you most of our people listening don't carry the cyber liability now.
Yeah, we offer it on pretty much every one of our clients now, and I'll tell you the nice thing for buyers, the good news that's finally getting delivered by insurance agents is the prices for cyber liability have come down drastically. You can get as low as $700 for $1 million in coverage. So
what does it cover? I mean, like if I were like Baltimore City and I got ransomed and you know they hold my data hostage, what would you do with that coverage?
Yeah, so it all obviously depends on how the claim comes in, but there's ransomware issues. There's notification costs. Every state has their own rules and regulations about what you need to do to notify all the people whose information was stolen or compromised. So you've got to get in touch with them. You've got to offer credit monitoring in some situations, which is paid for on the policies.
What if the cyber attack actually destroyed your business?
Yeah.
Would the policy pay the business for the loss of value of the business?
Generally, it's a little bit of a generic question, but yes, I mean, it can take care of the entire limit of the policy, and you can structure those policies, those cyber policies, to meet the exact needs of every individual client.
Wow.
So depending on what you're looking for, there are policies that can either be manuscripted or that are standalone policies that you would see off the shelf.
And this is becoming a serious issue.
We just heard about one on the break.
We just heard about one on the break, and Baltimore City has been very popular in this.
Yep.
I wonder if they carried cyber insurance.
I don't know.
Anyway, you know, how do people get in touch with you? I've only got about 30 seconds left.
Yeah, so like I said, we're part of Maury Donnelly & Parr, so www.mdpins.com. You can look up the Castendick Insurance Group there. Obviously, Drew, if they're working through you, you know how to get a hold of us, and anything we can do to help out.
Yeah. Well, we really appreciate it, and I appreciate you coming on the show with us tonight. But, you know, we could have gone on for a lot longer because there's a lot of issues. It's a very complex area.
It is.
And you need somebody who really knows it. And like you say, you need somebody in your business that knows your type of business.
And you have to be willing to spend the time to do it.
Yeah. So whether it's a law firm or a manufacturing company or retail or real estate like your specialty, you know, you need somebody that does that.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so it's Maury Donnelly & Parr,
MDP. Yep. INS.com.
MDPINS.com. Castendike Insurance Group. We really appreciate you being with us.
Thanks,
Chris,
for having us, Drew.
Thank you. And this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.